Worry about anything but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us in the Word of God. In the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. The book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham begot Isaac. Isaac begot Jacob, and Jacob begot Judah and his brothers. Judah begot Perez and Zerah by Tamar. Perez begot Hezron, and Hezron begot Ram. Ram begot Amminadab. Amminadab begot Nahshon, and Nahshon begot Salmon. Salmon begot Boaz by Rahab. Boaz begot Obed by Ruth. Obed begot Jesse, and Jesse begot David the king. David the king begot Solomon by her who had been the wife of Uriah. Solomon begot Rehoboam. Rehoboam begot Abijah, and Abijah begot Asa. Asa begot Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat begot Joram, and Joram begot Uzziah. Uzziah begot Jotham. Jotham begot Ahaz, and Ahaz begot Hezekiah. Hezekiah begot Manasseh. Manasseh begot Ammon, and Ammon begot Josiah. Josiah begot Jeconiah and his brothers about the time they were carried away to Babylon. After they were brought to Babylon, Jeconiah begot Shealtiel, and Shealtiel begot Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel begot Abiad. Abiad begot Eliakim, and Eliakim begot Azar. Azar begot Zadok. Zadok begot Akim, and Akim begot Eliad. Eliad begot Eleazar. Eleazar begot Matthan, and Matthan begot Jacob, and Jacob begot Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. So all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations. From David until the captivity in Babylon are 14 generations. And from the captivity in Babylon until the Christ are 14 generations. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife, and did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and she called his name Jesus. Verses 1 through 24, all of Matthew chapter 1. Father, we thank you once again for the wonderful and the blessed and the glorious story of Christmas, the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the greatest gift the world has ever known, into the world on that first Christmas. Father, thank you, Lord, for the wonderful gift of Jesus. Thank you for the salvation that is ours through him. And thank you for the way the world has never been the same since Jesus came to the world. Lord, anoint us afresh with the spirit of joy and peace. Empower us to be witnesses that are on fire for you every day, living in such a way that our words, our actions, our attitude, all that we are, as we're empowered by your spirit, point people to Jesus Christ. Help us to realize, Lord, that's what we're here for, to point people to Jesus and to live for him. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our producer is Rick Robertson. Rick is going to share a word of prayer with us at this time as well.
Father, we're so excited to be able to come to you. We're thankful that we can come boldly to your throne. And Father, we do recognize it's because of your precious son, Jesus, who came, was born in Bethlehem, and died a terrible death on the cross at Calvary for us, Father. Emmanuel, God with us, God within us now, Father, because of your Holy Spirit. We rejoice in that today. And Father, give us spirits more and more to tell others this good news. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Rick. And thank you again for being a part of our listening family. Today, we're grateful to have a special guest with us in studio. A guest that's been with us before, but it's been a little bit. But we're grateful to have Pastor Jerry Lawson with us once again. And Pastor Jerry, great to have you here with us
today. It's great to be here.
And just in the way of just a brief introduction, of course, Pastor Lawson is the pastor of Enon Cumberland Presbyterian Church in Ackerman, Mississippi. And there's lots of other things that I'm going to let him share that he may wish to share about himself so that you'll better know him. But he's here to also, in part, to share with us about taking and getting great use and witness out of the AFA Christmas buttons as well. And let me just say this in the way of introduction to our listeners. This Christmas season, we're encouraging all of our listeners to help let others know why you celebrate Christmas by wearing and sharing the attractive Jesus, He Came For You, or Jesus, Our Living Hope Christmas buttons. It's a fun and a simple way to remind friends and point them to the fact that Christ is the reason for the whole celebration of Christmas itself. These buttons and wristbands come in packs of 10. Perfectly designed to wear and share, and you can order them in sets of 10. Again, the buttons and the wristbands as well. You can order the buttons today. Visit afa.net and click on AFA Resources Center at the top of the page, or you can call 1-877-927-4917. But again, Brother Jerry is with us, and I'm going to ask Brother Jerry if you'll just further introduce yourself to our listeners so they'll better know who you are and what you're in the world to do for Jesus.
Well, Pastor Joseph, I guess about 6 years old when a family stopped and invited us to go to church. We weren't going to church. And my mother and father were up in the house. They were asleep, and I and my three brothers, we were out playing in the yard. And this lady, Ruby Wells, she just had a passion on her heart to invite people to come to church. So she and her husband pulled in and said, "Would y'all like to go to church?" And I thought, no, really don't care to go to church, but don't care to stay here in the yard. So I looked at my brothers and I said, "Let's go change real quick and let's go to church with them." So we did. Mm-hmm. 12 years later, I had not missed one Sunday in church. And the Sunday that I missed, I was at Fort Leonard Wood, Missouri, in basic training. Mm-hmm. And so at the age of 14, the Lord called me into the ministry. And 2 weeks after the call, I entered the pulpit for the first time and started supply pastoring little rural churches. Mm. And
so you started pastoring at 14 years of age.
Well, I started trying to exhort the word at 14. As far as pastoring, that would come many years later. There are a number of rural churches I'd sure like to go back to today, and you know, the Lord allow me to redeem myself.
Okay. Well, again, we're grateful to have you here with us. And, you know, Brother Jerry, I want to mention this. What you just shared about the idea that someone took the time on a Sunday morning to invite children in the yard, that's so much more important than I think probably any listener grasps, because the need may be greater today than it ever was. And on any Sunday morning, you can see the same thing, children outside playing and what appears to be a household where no one has any intention of going to church. And we need, just like we needed people way back then to invite children and families to church, the need, again, maybe is great today. Would you pray for the church to grasp the need to take opportunities like that and use them as the Lord would have us to? Would you pray for that?
Heavenly Father, it fascinates me, the children that see the buttons and come to me and ask if they can have a button. And of course, your word to your disciple, serve the little children to come unto me. Mm. I always, Father, want to make sure the parents will allow them to have the button, but I don't want them to get stuck. But Father, I thank you that so many children in our community enjoy wearing these Christmas buttons. What an opportunity to witness to a child. What an opportunity to be a blessing for Jesus to a child by giving them a button. And Father, both Ruby and James Wells today are in heaven with you. But I thank you that you inspired them to stop and invite this young man to come to church. And it transformed my life. And I thank you for them and their witness. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. And Father, I pray that more and more you'd move upon the church to recognize the great need for us to passionately share Jesus with a world that desperately needs to know him. Help us to be about your business in inviting people to church regularly, sharing the gospel as we go, giving out gospel tracts, sharing Christmas buttons, and doing other things, and just looking for opportunities to tell people about the Jesus that lives on the inside of us and that makes life what it needs to be. Lord, stir us to recognize that there's nothing the people we come in contact with need more than Jesus Christ in their hearts and their lives. And help us to live like we truly believe that. Anoint the church afresh with the spirit of evangelism and discipleship. And help us to be about that business each and every day. We thank you and we praise you, Lord. And I pray that you'd stir us to recognize the need for us to do things like to start conversations and share Christmas buttons and wear Christmas buttons and give out gospel tracts and just bring up conversations about Jesus as a lifestyle. Teach us by the power of your spirit to do that, to live that way, to walk that way each and every day. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our in-studio guest today is Brother Jerry Lawson, the pastor of Enon Cumberland Presbyterian Church in Ackerman, Mississippi. Brother Jerry, so part of your goal today is you're going to share about just both your experience and the encouragement you want to share with others about getting the AFA Christmas buttons and using them. Would you share with our listeners your heart on that?
I think it was back in 2005 when the button ministry started. And it was Buddy Smith. His mother and father were members of our church there at Ackerman, Marion and Joanne Smith. And Buddy introduced me to those buttons, and immediately there was just a sparkle in my life that this is an opportunity to witness for the Lord. In fact, Joseph, you asked me about a situation that happened many years ago, and it brings a chuckle to my mind. Mm-hmm. Many years ago, I was going to Jackson, Mississippi, to visit in the hospital a family. And I got caught up on Highway 55, Interstate 55, and was running late. I finally made my visit, and while I was going down there, Buddy called and told me his dad was up here in Tupelo in the hospital and had gotten a bad report concerning his heart. And so I told Buddy, I said, well, I'll be leaving Jackson, and I'll be coming to Tupelo just as fast as I can get there. Mm-hmm. And so I'm coming up Highway 45, and I top the hill before you get to West Point. Mm-hmm. And I was probably running about 80 miles an hour. And when I topped the hill, I noticed a state trooper in the median. Mm-hmm. And before I got to him, his lights came on. So I pulled over, and he pulled in behind me. And I had my driver's license out, and he walked up, and I handed him to him. And he looked at me, and he said, well, Mr. Lawson, I've been sitting here waiting on you. And I looked at him and told him, well, I got here as fast as I could. And he got tickled. And he said, why are you going so fast? And I said, well, I was going to Jackson, got caught up in the traffic on Interstate 55. And he said, I did yesterday. I know exactly what it's like down there. And I said,
I'm going to jump in here. We're going to pick up right there on the other side. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our studio guest is Brother Jerry Lawson. We'll be right back. Music from the David Crowder Band, Go Tell It on the Mountain. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. We're blessed to have as our in-studio guest, Brother Jerry Lawson. He's the pastor of Enon Cumberland Presbyterian Church in Ackerman, Mississippi. And Brother Jerry, again, if you'll pick up what, you know, I had specifically asked you to share that story, such a touching story. I'm going to ask if you'll start from the beginning, if you would, so people will hear the whole story, if you would, please.
Pastor Joseph, several years ago, before COVID, I was headed to Jackson, Mississippi on Interstate 55 to visit with a family. And I got caught up in a lot of traffic construction going on Interstate 55, and it delayed me a considerable amount of time. But I made my visit, and while I was leaving the hospital, I get this call from Buddy Smith that Mom and Dad are up here in Tupelo, and his father's having some heart issues, and the report's not good at all. Mm-hmm. And I just told Buddy, I said, Buddy, I'll be there as quick as I can get there. Mm-hmm. And so, breaking the speed limit, I've headed up to Tupelo. I was on 45, and I topped the hill coming into West Point in that long flat. Mm-hmm. As soon as I topped the hill, and I was running about 80 miles an hour, mm-hmm. I noticed mm-hmm. a state trooper was sitting there in the median. Mm-hmm. And as soon as I topped the hill, the lights came on, and I knew that mm-hmm. He had me. And so I pulled over, took my license out, and when he walked up to the car, I handed it to him, and he looked at my license, and he said, Mr. Lawson, I've been sitting here waiting for you. And I said, yes, sir. And I got here as fast as I could. And he got tickled at that. And he said, why are you going so fast? And I said, well, I had gone down to Jackson early this morning to make a hospital visit, and I got caught in the traffic. He said, well, I know what you're talking about. I got caught in that traffic yesterday, all of the construction going on. Mm-hmm. And I said, I got a call from a family, and I'm trying to get to Tupelo as quick as I can to be with this family. They've gotten a bad medical report. And he said, I'm not going to write you a ticket. And he's still chuckling, and he handed my license back to me. But he said, Mr. Lawson, I want to tell you something. And I said, yes, sir, I'm all ears. He said, on the other side of West Point, there are three other state troopers working Highway 45, mm-hmm. and they may not be as nice as I am. I said, I've heard what you said, and I'll keep it under the speed limit. Mm-hmm. And I got on up here to Tupelo and was with Buddy and Joanne and the family. And so anyway, the Lord blessed that day. And but that was just a memory that I have coming to Tupelo and Buddy Smith here at American Family Radio.
Now, my guess is that Highway Patrol has probably told that story maybe hundreds of times of all the people he's ever stopped.
Look, I believe in being honest with those police officers out there. And in fact, Joseph, if you don't mind, I'd just like to pause and have a prayer those law enforcement officers.
Please do. Please do.
Heavenly Father, there are so many difficult tasks in life that people perform. People in the medical field. People who work in the fire departments. But, Father, I have a heavy heart today for those who are in law enforcement. Father, I think you are in law enforcement. And I pray your blessing, your safety, your anointing today upon those who, leave the house each day knowing they're giving of themselves to go out and to protect us. I have the utmost respect for them. And, Father, each day, I, and on my prayer concern at the church, law enforcement, we lift up to you. I pray that you would bless them and all of those in uniform, even our military this week. And, Father, keep them safe from harm. And many families have lost loved ones as they tried to give themselves for others, just as Christ gave himself for us. I pray that they'd know the peace of Christ today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. And Father, I too thank you and praise you for all of our law enforcement in our local community, our state, our nation, our world. Father, flood them with your grace, peace, and mercy and strength, Lord. We surround them with faith and love. We surround them with the blood of Jesus. Keep them safe from danger, evil, and harm. And Lord, raise up many more intercessors, people that will pray daily for law enforcement, for their protection, for your grace to be upon them, and for their encouragement to do a job of excellence as they serve and honor you in their capacity. We thank and praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
You know, that's neat that you thought to pray for them, because I was thinking the same thing. And, you know, they, again, to every listener that's listening, pray for law enforcement regularly. They have a difficult job, but an important, a very important job as well. Well, Brother Jerry, would you share with our listeners more about your heart, why and how you have the heart that you do for the wisdom of sharing these Christmas buttons at this season of the year?
Well, this morning, Pastor Joseph, the Lord's just laid it on my heart that as we travel the pathway of life, there's just teachable moments.
Mm-hmm.
Teachable moments to me are reachable moments to people who maybe sit in darkness.
Mm-hmm.
And teachable, reachable moments can become understandable moments. And from understandable, they become believable moments. And so I'll give you an example.
Mm-hmm.
3 weeks ago, we were in Branson, Missouri.
Mm-hmm.
And we're meeting a couple and their son on Monday morning. So we pull up in front of this restaurant that we've eaten at many times with our friends.
Mm-hmm.
And we're to meet them there at 8 o'clock. And so Deborah and I get out, and we're going in just a few minutes before 8. And as we start into the door of the restaurant, the Lord's spirit just identified with my spirit. Jerry, get a bag of buttons. Well, my mm-hmm. wife, she's, let's go on in and let's get a seat and let's get a table.
Mm-hmm.
Jerry, get a bag of buttons. Let's mm-hmm. go in and say. So I went in and we sat down at the table. In a few minutes, Alvin, Vivian, Coleman, and their son Ed joined us at the table.
Mm-hmm.
We order, we're drinking coffee, and this lady that's waiting on us, Joseph, she's just so nice. So I have an extra button in my pocket, and I give it to her. And mm-hmm. she was just tickled to death to get it.
Mm-hmm.
And just let me say, I've given out thousands and thousands and thousands of buttons, and I've never had one person say, I don't want that button.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody appreciates the Christmas button. You can mm-hmm. be a blessing by giving them out.
Mm-hmm.
And so in just a few minutes, she came back and she said, sir, do you have any more of those buttons?
Mm-hmm.
No, I did not. But thankfully, my wife, Alvin, Vivian, and Ed, they had buttons, and so they gave her. She wanted 3 buttons.
Mm-hmm.
And then it comes to me again. Go get a bag of buttons. So I just excuse myself from the table and go out to the vehicle and get a bag of buttons and put them in my pocket. And it's like, there, Lord, now I've done what you wanted me to do.
Mm-hmm.
I go back in. And as I go to sit down at our table, I notice 3 people at an adjoining table, and they've got the Christmas buttons on.
Mm-hmm.
So there was a young boy there, I don't know, 12, 14 maybe.
Mm-hmm.
I looked at him and said, I like your button.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, well, the lady that's waiting on us had a button, and I asked her if she had any more, if where could we get a button?
Mm-hmm.
And so, and then he saw my button.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, I guess she came to y'all's table. And I said, yes, we gave her 3 buttons.
Mm-hmm.
He looks at me then and he says, I sure wished I had some buttons that I could give to my friends.
Mm-hmm.
I said, well, you have not because you ask not. If you ask anything in the name of Jesus, it will be done for you.
Mm-hmm.
I said, did you pray for some buttons?
Mm-hmm.
He said, well, no, I didn't. I mm-hmm. guess I should pray for them.
Mm-hmm.
I said, teachable moment.
Mm-hmm.
The Lord knows what you have need of before mm-hmm. you ask. And I said, I have a bag of buttons in my pocket, and I'm mm-hmm. going to give them to you to give to your friend.
Mm-hmm.
And you thank Jesus for these buttons. And mm-hmm. it just tickled him, I guess blew him away, that the Lord had provided what he wanted
mm-hmm.
before
mm-hmm.
he knew he had a need.
Mm-hmm.
I see that so many times, and it's that teachable moment where the Lord says, Jerry, kind of like your earthly father, how many times did he say, how many times do I have to tell you and remind you before you'll do it? Mm-hmm. And when the Lord gives you an inspiration, pay attention to it.
Mm. You know, Brother Jay, that's such a powerful and an important bit of insight, word that you've just shared, because God speaks to all of his children every day.
Amen.
And our job is to listen and do what he tells us. And it's a way whereby we simply cooperate with the Holy Spirit and we plug into the eternal purposes of God, because it was God's business, but God had in mind to touch a lot of people that day through you. And as you simply obeyed, God used you mightily. And, you know, God doesn't have to strain to do that. God can do that all day long, a million times plus over. Our job is just to listen and obey.
I just wish that the children of God really realized you're his witness. Mm-hmm. You've got the message. He has taught us that we might become teachers to teach and reach others.
That's so true, so true. So again, to every single listener, keep in mind, we're wanting to remind everyone about the one who gave us the ultimate gift of Jesus Christ. And, you know, I think of this in looking at the button there as you're wearing it. It has in bold letters the name Jesus. And, you know, when people just simply read Jesus' name, that all by itself is powerful, to see the name of Jesus in an obvious way like that. Again, these buttons and wristbands come in packs of 10, perfectly designed to wear and share. And you can order them in sets of 10. And remember, the more you buy, the more you save. You can order the buttons today, and the deadline is approaching. But simply visit afa.net and click on AFA Resource Center at the top of the page. Or you can call this number, 1-877-927-4917, to order the buttons and wristbands. Again, the number 1-877-927-4917, or visit the AFA Resource Center. Go to afa.net and click on the AFA Resource Center at the top of the page online. Brother Jerry, it's a wonderful and a blessed privilege for us to be a witness through which God can reach. And the reality is that it's good for us to recognize this. Every single human being we run into is a person in need. And their greatest need is for Jesus, and they have other needs. And, of course, Jesus supplies the needs that we face in life, too. And so it's good for us to know that our job is to live in a listening mode where we simply do what the Holy Spirit tells us to in any given setting.
Joseph, you never know how the Lord's going to move. I think about Christmas. I think about the cradle. I think about the table. Mm-hmm. I think about the cross. And it's astonishing to me that the one who created everything conceived himself in a young Jewish girl. That precious life, the moment the Holy Spirit brought that upon her. Here is God creating himself in his own creation. Mm-hmm. And the life that he lived from that cradle to that cross, he lived it for other people, a life without sin. Mm-hmm. And when I think about that, and on Christmas Eve night at Ackerman, at Enon, from 6 to 8, we have a come-and-go communion service. Mm-hmm. We have a nativity out on front of the church, and I just think, well, he's gone from the stable to the table here this evening, and look at the life that he's lived so that I might be able to live and enjoy that Christian godly life too. It's one of my most exciting services of the year is that Christmas Eve come-and-go communion service.
You know, that's such a neat truth to really consider when you really stop and think about the idea that the creator of the universe became a human being, one of his own creation at a certain point in time in history. There's so much both wonder and mystery surrounding that reality, something to really consider.
Yes.
We're coming up on a break, and we'll pick up on the other side. Our in-studio guest today is Brother Jerry Lawson, the pastor of Enon Cumberland Presbyterian Church in Ackerman, Mississippi. We'll be right back. Music of Bebo Norman, Come and Worship. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. We're honored to have in studio with us today Brother Jerry Lawson, the pastor of Enon Cumberland Presbyterian Church in Ackerman, Mississippi. And Brother Jerry is here in part to share with us, to encourage our listeners to get involved with sharing the AFA Christmas buttons and wristbands. They carry the messages specifically that state, Jesus, He came for you, and Jesus, our living hope, and keep Christ in Christmas wristband specifically as well. And we're encouraging every listener to prayerfully consider to order some of those buttons and wristbands today. Visit afa.net and click on the AFA Resource Center at the top of the page, or you can call 1-877-927-4917. Brother Jerry, who specifically would you encourage to order the buttons?
Well, I would encourage ministers to order them and give them to your church people and have them wear those throughout the community. I have school teachers that ask for bags of buttons. Mm-hmm. Pastor Joseph, as soon as Christmas is over, mm-hmm. I'm going to ask Buddy Smith, if you've got any extra buttons, mm-hmm. I want them. Mm-hmm. And he brings me, last year he brought me 450 buttons that were left over, mm-hmm. and I put those buttons back because I like to get the buttons out starting in November. I mean, these mm-hmm. other stores, they put Christmas stuff out back in September. Mm-hmm. And so I want to have my Christmas buttons a year in advance so when mm-hmm. I go to Branson, I can start passing them out. And but I would say specifically, ministers can use those buttons through their church members as a witness.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, and that's such a great idea. And just, you know, dads and moms with their children, neighbors, just any believer that desires just to be find one more way to be a faithful witness for Jesus Christ. And again, it's so beautiful to see how Jesus' name is so prominent right there on that button as well, specifically. So, and let me say to our listeners, you know, I'm going to share from the Gospel of Matthew chapter 2, and one more time a word of encouragement to our listeners, an important, I guess amongst other things, it certainly can be a Christmas tradition for you and your family, but we're encouraging encouraging every single listener to do this in your life and in your family. Take time to read all the way through the Christmas narrative, specifically Matthew chapters 1 and 2 and Luke chapters 1 and 2, which contain what we call, quote-unquote, the traditional Christmas story. And, of course, you know, Brother Jerry, you really could call the whole Bible the Christmas story.
Yes, you can.
But the traditional Christmas story you find within the confines specifically of Matthew chapters 1 and 2 and Luke chapters 1 and 2. And it's something to think, too. There are some people that have never read all of those in one setting. You know, not necessarily in one setting, but in the Christmas season. And it's wonderful to read all the way through them with your family, several times, actually. And it's especially good to have parents let their young children do the reading, to read portions over the Christmas season, and then let them ask all the questions they want to ask, because children always have wonderful questions, great questions, and write the questions down. Because, again, the questions, sometimes they make us chuckle. But more than that, often they will make you think about truths and insights about Christmas that sometimes us adults can brush over, that are so important. And so God sometimes may need to find real children Bible scholars to help us catch some of those insights from the wonderful Christmas story. So please take time with your family to read through Matthew chapters 1 and 2 and Luke chapters 1 and 2 several times during the Christmas season. Reading now from Matthew chapter 2, starting at verse 1. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen a star in the east and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, 'But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod, when he'd secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the young child. And when you have found him, bring back word to me that I may come and worship him also." When they heard the king, they departed. And behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way. Verses 1 through 12 of Matthew chapter 2. You know, Brother Jerry, something that comes to my mind, of course, there's so many insights and so much wisdom and power found in that short narrative of the wise men. And, you know, one of the many things that stand out is that they were so excited about Jesus, excited to come find him, excited to come worship, not so much coming to get. Now, of course, they received tremendously, but they were coming to worship and to give. And they were excited about it, so much so it appeared that the people they were speaking to, you know, there in Jerusalem were wondering, what in the world are these guys here for? Why are they so passionate about this? And even the people that helped them find out that Jesus would be born in Bethlehem, it doesn't record that anybody followed them, not a single person. But thoughts that come to your mind about that story?
Well, again, I go back. The wise men, they had eyes to see, and they had ears to hear, and they were teachable. If a person is not teachable, they're not reachable. If their mind is closed, the wise men had an open mind, and they wondered and meditated on what they saw. And yes, in Jerusalem, the Bible tells us that there were many people that were in fear and anxious and troubled. Same thing today. We have a lot of people. Joseph, let me share a little something with you. Tuesday night in Branson, we went to one of these Murdy Mystery dinner theaters, and we had a nice meal. And at the intermission of the program, I got up and went to the restroom. Well, in the restroom, I noticed that there was this young boy about 9 or 10 years old, was kind of watching me and following me around, and it was kind of a little bit unnerving. And after I'd washed my hands and everything, and I stepped outside, there appears the young boy again. And I'm like, how'd he get out here? I just left him in the bathroom. Well, come to find out, they were identical twins. It was two of them. They were nine. And that's when I realized they were both focused on the button that I had on. And I asked them, I said, y'all like the button? And they shook their head, yes, sir. And I said, would you like to have one? And they said, yes, sir. So I handed each one of them a button, went on into the dinner theater and sat down. And just a few short minutes before the program started back up, this lady who is one of the main characters in the show, she comes over and she says, I want to apologize to you. And I said, for what? And I said, those twins were my brothers, and I know they ask you for those buttons. And I said, no, you've got it all wrong. They looked at the button, and I asked them if they would like to have one. And she was very thankful that I gave them a button. She said, they're my younger brothers, and I'm raising them. And she got emotional. Here she is, a single person, an older sister, trying to raise her two brothers. And I told her, I said, life's tough, isn't it? And she said, it is. And I said, well, I got a feeling that you need Jesus. And so she was very thankful. And I just mentioned to her, there's a lot of great and wonderful churches here in this Branson area. If you'll get with Jesus, you can find joy again, and you'll have help in raising them two young brothers. You never know what you're going to encounter with these buttons, but you need to be instant in season and out of season. And, Joseph, I just, if I can interrupt you again, I have a heavy heart for these single moms, especially this time of year, and these kids that they want to have a joy-filled Christmas. There's a lot of hurting single parents out there, and I want to be a blessing to everybody I encounter. I don't have much resources, but I serve a Savior who's got unlimited resources.
That's right. That's right.
Let's pray.
Okay.
Heavenly Father, you have blessed me and my family. Health, strength, and yes, you have been so gracious to us. We have resources that we're so unworthy of. But Father, especially this time of year, a Christian is going to recognize how blessed we have been. And Father, this Christmas, I really have no need for anything that the world has to offer. But Father, only what you have to offer, and that's joy, peace, love, happiness, Father, and hope for life everlasting. But I would just like to lift up to you many brothers and sisters, single moms, single dads, struggling as we come into this season of Christmas. Yes, we see a lot who have abundance, but there's many, many more that have needs. And Father, as a Christian community, you came into the world to bring us gifts, the gift of salvation, peace, hope, joy. And may we, Father, be used as instruments to be a blessing to someone else this Christmas season. That's the joy of Christmas, is to be able to give a gift. And what greater gift to give or greater gift to receive than Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? Thank you for these buttons. What a precious gift. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Well, again, Brother Jerry, thank you so much for being with us today. And let me say to every single one of our listeners, as we usually do before we end our broadcast today, as we do on a daily basis, if you're listening today and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, today is a great day to get saved. And of course, during the Christmas season is a wonderful time to meet Jesus and to come to receive him and to know him as the Lord and Savior of your life. If you'd like to make that step, I simply invite you, would you pray this prayer with me in order to give your heart and life to Jesus Christ? Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so very much that you came into this world a long time ago as a baby. You lived, you grew up. You lived, you died on the cross to pay for my sins. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that we could be saved. Lord, I confess, we've sinned and done wrong in many ways.
Yes.
Lord, We repent of that wrong. Forgive us, Lord, for all the wrong things we've done. Lord Jesus, come anew into my heart today. Make me brand new. Save me. Make me the person you would have me to be. You told us in your word, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Lord, I'm calling on your name. Save me. Fill me with your spirit. Help me to live my whole life for you. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
My email is jparker@afa.net. If you just pray and receive Christ, please get in touch with us. My email, again, is jparker@afa.net. We'd like to share with you some resources that will help you to begin to grow and grow strong in your walk with the Lord. Brother Jerry Lawson, thank you so much for being with us once again today.
Joseph, it's been a blessing for me, and thank you, sir, and God bless your ministry.
Amen. And thank you for being a part of our listening family. One more time again, if you're wanting to get some of the Christmas buttons and wristbands, simply visit afa.net. Again, that's afa.net, and click on the AFA Resource Center at the top of the page, or call 1-877-927-4917. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.